turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. I won't be able to stay around long after church today. I have to hustle on. I have to run down to Nissan Stadium this morning to support two of our students who are playing at halftime today. Lucas Wolf and Jackson Wolf are in the band from their Nolensville High School. So I'll be heading down. Amen. I am a Titans fan, but I'm not going for them. They're struggling. My wife is out of town this morning. She is in Virginia. She gets back tonight. We pray for her safe travel. And man, so excited. We're in a series right now called Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Because for some of us, 'tis the season to be triggered. Christmas brings up so many memories. Some good, some not so good. So we don't want to ever spiritualize things to the point where we don't acknowledge that there is pain and suffering in the hearts of the people of God. Yes, we have joy, but we also have been given a fruit of the Spirit called patience or long suffering. And some of us are in a season where we've been suffering long. Today, there's a word of encouragement for you from Luke chapter 1. As we talk today about a messed up situation. Let's pray together. Emmanuel, you are with us. And for those of us who know you, you are in us. We thank you that we have received the spirit of adoption. We are no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters who've been adopted and placed into your family. And we thank you that we have been sealed with the precious Holy Spirit. We thank you, O God, that when you adopted us and cherished us, every day we are reminded of your grace towards us that superabounds over our sinfulness. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes all of our sins away. And when baby Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, it was a picture and a symbol of the fact that he would one day be wrapped in grave clothes. But I'm so glad, Lord, that you didn't stay in those grave clothes long, because you got up on Sunday morning and you had the nerve to even fold up your grave clothes. We say thank you for the victory that we have in you. We thank you that we're born again. We're born from above. We are loved beyond our wildest dreams. And we thank you that you're not only the God who gets us fit for heaven, but as we also sang this morning, that we are confident that we're going to see your goodness in the land of the living. We need a touch. I thank you, Jesus, that when you came, you ministered to hurting people and you rebuked religious people. May we not be religious this morning. May we admit that we're hurting. May we admit that we're blind. May we admit that we're sick. May we admit that we're lost, because that's when we experience your grace. Because it's the proud and the self-reliant that you know from afar, but it's the broken that you are near. Touch each person as only you can. We thank you, Lord, for the corporate gathering of the saints in the house and online. Holy Spirit, you are not limited, and neither is the word of God. Oh God, do a great thing, starting first with this preacher. I need your word this morning, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to deliver it, especially to each and every one of us. For it's in Jesus' name that I ask it all. Amen, and thank you, Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. There was, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, if you want to find it on your phones. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "The Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among people." A messed up situation. The word of God is true, and it can be trusted. The word of God is true because Jesus said it was truth. John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said to the Father, "Sanctify them," the disciples, "with truth. Your word is truth." The word of God is truth. The word of God is truth, and it's true because it tells the truth about everything it speaks on. This book is like no other book. It's alive and it's active. It was breathed by God. So when you read about this book, it's true, and it's true on everything it speaks on, especially when it speaks on the person, character, and nature of God. We know that God is holy, 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 because the Bible tells us so in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. We know that God is love because the Bible tells us so in the book of 1 John. We know that God is immutable. He does not change, because the Bible tells us so in the book of Malachi. So when the Bible speaks about God, it's speaking the truth about God. When the Bible speaks about God's Son, the Holy Spirit, when the Bible speaks about the Godhead, it's speaking the truth about God. Everything the Bible speaks on, it speaks truly. When it speaks about sin, it's telling the truth. When the Bible speaks about brokenness and alienation from God, it's telling the truth. But when the Bible speaks about the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God and the salvation of God, it's telling the truth. And when the Bible speaks about the visible realm and the invisible realm, it's telling the truth. When the Bible speaks about angels and demons, the Bible is telling the truth. The Word of God is true because it tells the truth not only about God, but it tells the truth about people. It tells the truth about you and I. It tells the truth because the Bible is so that it's the kind of book that humans would not write on their own accord if they could. And they would not write it if they would, because it tells the truth about our broken condition. The Bible reveals the upside and the downside of the people God used for his divine purposes. Did you hear what I said? It tells the truth about the upside and the downside. If it was just written by man alone, it would probably only tell you the upside. But with every person that God uses, myself included, there's also a downside, because God never calls the qualified, because no one is, but he qualifies everyone that he calls. For instance, Abraham had an upside. He was known as the father of faith. He trusted God and stepped out and followed God. His upside, but he had a downside as well. Because sometimes your very strength can also be your weakness. Hello, somebody. Your strength can also be your weakness when we're operating in our own strength. So whereas he was known for having faith, homeboy wrestled with unbelief. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because he told his wife as they were going into Egypt, now, I need you to do me a favor. Because you're so fine. You're fine as wine, girl. You look good. Don't tell him that you're my wife. Tell him that you're my sister. And so he had this thing with lying. And so he had a downside. And also within his home, the pressure of having a wife who could not have a child. And so when we encounter them, they are approximately 75 years old in Genesis 12. And up to this point, Sarai had not had a child. And so there's pressure in their home. And when this child did come, Isaac, they had to wait 25 years for him. Is anybody waiting for anything? And you feel your situation is messed up because you're like, where is God? I heard him. He spoke a promise. But his timetable is obviously different from mine. And oh, God. So he had an upside. He had a downside. And his wife, Sarah, the same. She had an upside. She, too, had faith. She doesn't get a lot of credit. But in order for that man to step out, she had to step out with him. And they went from the Ur of Chaldees into the land of Canaan, trusting God as they were moving towards the land of promise. Upside. But homegirl had a downside. She was barren in her body, could not conceive, and she had a little anger situation on her too. Because when Abram, the father of faith, said, I can't wait on the Lord to provide me a child naturally with my wife, let me look at this fine Egyptian sister named Hagar, and let me see if I can get a child through her. And Sarah said, go ahead and marry her, because I have so much grief that I can't provide. And y'all know the story. He married this woman and had two wives. But you can't have two women in the same house. No man can try to juggle multiple women. Brother, you're going to get caught. You're going to get burned. And so it got bad in Abraham's house. And Sarah eventually put hands on Hagar, when you look at the Hebrew, that she disciplined her and sent her away. So there was some furniture moving in Abraham's tent back in the day. Joseph, the patriarch, had an upside. He was the second in command of Pharaoh, but he also had a downside. His brothers were jealous of him, and they sold him into slavery. And then when he's working, he's accused of rape, and he's put into prison. Upside, downside. Moses had an upside. He was rescued from the Nile by his sister. He parted the Red Sea. So many great miracles that the man of God did, but he had a downside. Pastor, what is it? He had a speech impediment. He was a stutterer. Not only that, he was a murderer. He had a murder on his rap sheet. Everybody's got an upside and a downside. David had an upside. He killed Goliath as a teenager. He became king at the age of 30. But the downside is that his own father overlooked him when the prophet came into the house asking for one of his sons to be the king. And his father overlooked David, didn't put him in the number. And Samuel said, "Do you have another son? Because these ones ain't it." Bad English, good theology. These ain't it. And so there's one more, but he's out in the field. Go get him. It's got to be tough when your dad doesn't believe that you can be a king. Downside in his own life. And we know about what happened with him and Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. But what we don't think about and put human clothes on his story is that the son conceived through that adulterous union was taken by the And he had to bury a son. Some of us have experienced that. Upside, downside. And then there's Peter. Oh, what an upside when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Peter." But then the downside, he pulls Jesus aside right after that and tries to rebuke the master. Because Peter's plans don't align with God's plans for how the Messiah is going to accomplish salvation. And he pulled Jesus aside and rebuked him. And downside, "Get behind me, who?" Satan. That boy was up, then went down, just like that. Downside, he denied the Lord three times. Downside, he was imprisoned for his faith. Downside, he was crucified in Rome, upside down. So let no one tell you or deceive you that the Christian life is all roses, that walking with God, the great Emmanuel who's with us, that we won't go through messed up situations. And seeing the downside of our biblical heroes reveal how we all go through some messed up situations in life. Somebody this morning is battling depression. Clinical, emotional, spiritual depression. And you feel messed up. Somebody is struggling with loneliness today. And you smile and you're asking God to give you joy, but deep down there's a struggle. You are lonely. There's a man or a woman in a loveless marriage. And you are in a messed up situation. There's someone who has been divorced or about to go through a divorce, and you're in a messed up situation at Christmas time. Someone is feeling estranged from their family. Y'all used to be friends, but now you're enemies. We're still recovering from whatever happened at Thanksgiving. You know, we feel estranged. And like we're on an island by ourselves. Someone got a bad medical report. And I know there are people in our church who have, and we're praying with you. And wow, it's a messed up situation. There are those here who have lost a job. There are those here who lack financial stability. There are those here in our body who want to have children, but right now haven't been able to do so. And they are dealing with barrenness or impotence. There are those here who are struggling with their own children. And There are those here who are in a messed up situation because the effects of aging are setting in. You can't hear like you used to. You can't see like you used to. You can't walk like you used to. Can't drive at night like you used to. Can't spring up out of a seat like you used to. And you're aging. And then there's someone here who's gone through a death in the family. Or this time of the year reminds you of a death that occurred last year or years ago, or that a person who died is no longer with you as you worship Jesus and celebrate his birth. And so you have to wrestle and deal with the emotions of it all. But today, we will see how Zechariah and Elizabeth, yes, they were in a messed up situation, but God. If you're in a messed up situation today, but God. This is going to get good. Let's go back to the passage, Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. And let's see the upside of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah. So this man was a Levite. He was a priest. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, meaning that she was also within the tribe of Levi. And her name was Elizabeth. So he's a preacher. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So do you see that? They're right with God. Relationally and practically. They know God by faith. They've been redeemed by him. They are righteous, declared so by faith, looking forward to the Messiah who was to come. These are good folk right here. And not only were they righteous and they walked it out, they were blameless, which means they were above reproach. These are some good, godly people. That's the upside. What is the first word of verse 7? But. Ha. Some of us don't like the word but. Matter of fact, everybody has a but in their story. Things are going great, but. God is good and I know him and I'm walking with him and for him as best as I can, but. And when the but happens, you can be kind of in a place of asking, Lord, why did this happen to me, to our family? We're living for you. We got to be careful of that kind of theology that says God will be good to you because you're good to him. No. God is good to us simply because he's good. He allows trials, tribulations, and suffering to come into our lives to develop us, to cause us to grow. And no one sees a test coming. That's why they're called pop quizzes and whatnot. You go to school thinking you're coasting, the teacher says, put your books away. We got a pop quiz today. Oh, man. And the quiz or the test is designed to see how much you really know. But verse 7, they had no child. Strike 1, because Elizabeth was barren. Strike 2, and they were both well advanced in years. Strike 3. They had 3 strikes against them. But God. Verse 8. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division. So now God is beginning to put together the soul train scramble board. Some of y'all don't know what I just said. Others of y'all know exactly what I said. Because during soul train, they would be out there dancing, you know, to Cameo or Earth, Wind & Fire. And Don Cornelius would come over and say, we've got 2 groovy people and they're going to make the soul train scramble board speak. And so they would put the letters while the music is playing and put it together and scramble. And you would see a message the Jackson 5 on the Soul Train Scramble Board. And I'm here to let somebody know that God is taking what's scrambled in your life and he's going to put it together where it starts to make sense to you. And so for Zacharias, it was just a regular work day, kind of. Because during those times, there were 24 divisions of priests and thousands of priests in each division. And so they would roll the holy dice to determine who would go in and minister in the temple. And because they only did this thing 12 times a year, or maybe 24, depending upon some historians, that's 24 people out of thousands of priests. And a lot of times your name would not get called. And you would die as a priest, not having the privilege of going into the temple to burn incense at the hour of incense. But on this particular day, God determined it was Zacharias' turn. I'm here to let somebody know it's your turn. You've been waiting. It's your turn. You're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's your turn. And so the Bible says in verse 10, or rather, let me go back to verse 9. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And here, everything is about to change right now. But I need to let you know that yes, it was messed up how Elizabeth suffered shame and reproach for being barren. The pressure on a woman in the culture of those days when she did not have children, can't imagine it. I mean, we get that sometimes in our culture. How long y'all been married? Y'all don't have any kids yet? You still single? When you get married, what's wrong? So we can understand the pressure in a community. But she felt reproach. It was messed up how Elizabeth and Zechariah's prayer, because the angel said, your prayer has been heard. But they had to wait a long time for the prayer to be answered. They're well, old, advanced in years. They didn't just start praying for a son when they hit 80. I'm sure they prayed that prayer when they just got married. And then all of a sudden now, because we know how the story ends, now God's going to answer because Gabriel says your prayer was heard, but it was messed up all them years before the prayer was answered by God. It was heard as soon as they prayed it. But hearing it and answering it happened at a different time. As far as the proof that God heard it came in the answer. I just want to let somebody know today. I want to let somebody know that prayers have no expiration date. I said it too fast, didn't I? Prayers don't have an expiration date. So what you prayed year 25 in your life, God, I want to live for you. God, I want to serve you. God, I want to, what do you have for me? And if it happens year 35 of your life, if it happens year 45, that prayer had no expiration date. Lord, deliver my children. Lord, cover us. Lord, take care of us. That prayer had no expiration date. When your mother prayed for you, when your father prayed for you, that prayer sits in golden bowls in heaven and come up before God as a sweet aroma. He sees the tears of his people and he knows. So you wait on the Lord. But on that day, Zacharias had no idea that his prayer had been answered and heard that day. So as you go about the mundane, as you go about your day, God can jump in your situation and turn it around just like that. But don't be like Zacharias, though. When the angel said, God heard your prayer. And then homeboy's like, how can this be? He started leaning on his own understanding. Thank God that the angel, after he disciplined him, said, it's still going to be fulfilled even though your faith is weak right now. That's great. God says, I'm still going to do what I'm going to do in your life because when you're not faithful, I remain faithful. There's so much meat in this passage. I got to keep rolling. But it was messed up how Zacharias heard that word and doubted it and then got struck with muteness. Your mouth got you in trouble. So we got to put the mouth on mute for a while so that you don't get yourself in any more trouble. Now, we don't need Gabriel to come by here and strike us with muteness. Some of us just need to keep our mouth shut right now. We talk too much. And a lot of times we talk unbelief because death is in the tongue. And we need to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to mute my mouth. Like Mama used to say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. Muteness, Lord, bring it back. We all need it. So it was messed up how two good, godly people had to suffer for so long. Thankfully, there was just not a downside to their story. There's an upside to their story as well. There were several things that were messed up about their situation, but there were more things that were a blessing about their situation. That's so good, I got to say it again. There were several things. They had at least three strikes against them. Things that were hard and messed up in their story. And you've got stuff messed up in your story too. I've got stuff in my story that's not going the way I want it to go. But if we look closer, if we look deeper, there are more things going right in our story than things going wrong. And we're about to see that. And I hope you can get your shout on. Because number one, it was a blessing that Zacharias' priestly division was serving that day. It was a blessing that Zacharias was chosen by lot to offer incense in the temple that day. It was a blessing that the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias. How many of y'all ever seen an angel? I mean, a real one, you know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people say, but he saw an angel and lived. It was a blessing that the angel said, don't be afraid. Because the Bible says he was afraid. Why? Because he's probably thinking, this is my last day of work. I'm about to die. I must have done something wrong. And Gabriel says, do not be afraid. He could have said, you fool, your life is required of you today. That would have been real messed up. But he said to him, don't be afraid. Ah, thank you, God. It was a blessing that Zacharias was the first person to not only see an angel in a while, but to hear a prophetic word in 400 years. People of God, you don't understand this. When the book of Malachi was the first Italian prophet, Malachi. When that book ended, there had not been any special revelation from God, a prophetic word, yet alone an angel, for 400 years. And God decides to speak to an aging priest in the temple on that particular day because something is about to happen. He's putting the board together because his son is coming, but there's got to be somebody to introduce him. And God chose this man and his wife to have that son. Oh, it was a blessing that the angel said to Zacharias that your prayer has been heard. It was a blessing that God himself named Zacharias the son. He said his name is going to be John, which speaks of God's graciousness. Now, you may not think that's a big thing, but when you go through the pages of the Bible, there are not many people who were named personally by God. John is one of those people. Yes, he changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah and Cephas to Petros or Peter. He changed some names. But when he names you himself, for instance, when Jesus was born, the angel had to say, now make sure y'all call him the right name. His name shall be called Emmanuel. He also goes on to say, his name shall be called Yeshua, meaning the Lord is salvation. Y'all, Mary and Joe, y'all not naming this baby. God named this baby. So there are a few instances in the Bible when that happens. It was a blessing when God names your baby. Her name, or you know how some of us, we name our kids, and people look at it like, where'd that name come from? Bone Quisha. Where'd that name come from? God gave this name. It was a blessing that the angel said that many would rejoice at the birth of this son. It was a blessing that Zechariah, the son, would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't read over that quickly, because the Holy Spirit had not been poured out on all flesh yet. So when he moved in what we call the Old Testament era, he was very selective with who he rested on and rested in. And his presence was conditional upon obedience. Judges, prophets, priests, kings were anointed with the Spirit, but he would leave. So when you see people in the new covenant time before the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 who have the Spirit, oh my God, y'all don't take that for granted. And God says not only will John have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he's going to be filled from the womb. This is serious stuff here. What a blessing. Not only that, it was a blessing that Zechariah, the son, would turn the hearts of men towards their children and the sons to the fathers and the heart of the people of Israel towards God by preaching a message of repentance. His ministry would be a success. It was a blessing that Zechariah, the son, John, would go before the Messiah. Y'all, only one person can have that distinction, and that was John, Zechariah's and Elizabeth's son. It was a blessing that Zechariah's son would minister in the power of Elijah. Oh my God. So John is a picture of Elijah. It was a blessing that Zechariah's son would be great. That's what Gabriel said about him. He's going to be great. And everybody wants their kid to be great. And Jesus, in the midst of a time when John the Baptist, his faith wavered. He's in prison. He's locked up for preaching against Herod, having his brother's wife and being in adultery. They've put him in jail. They're about to cut his head off. But John sends some disciples of his to Jesus. And he says, are you the coming one or should we look for somebody else? John, wait a minute, bro. You born supernaturally. Jesus, your cousin. You got the Holy Ghost. You baptizing folk. How you have a moment of doubt? Because he's human. You can be great and still struggle. You can be Holy Ghost filled and still struggle. But I like how Jesus handled this. He says, you go tell John that sick people are getting healed, hungry people are getting fed, blind people are getting their sight, and blessed is the person who doesn't fall away because of me. So they walk off. Okay, I guess we'll take that message back to John. In other words, John, suck it up. You in a jail cell, which is causing your faith to struggle. When we get in those moments, we struggle. God, are you the one or should I look for somebody else? No, man, stay the course. And then once they leave, Jesus turns to the crowd and says, what y'all go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? No. I'm telling you, y'all went out to hear a prophet and more than a prophet. There's no one born of a woman who's greater, the word great, greater than John. When Jesus says you great, you great. So Jesus didn't let one moment of unbelief cause him to change his perspective about John. And he won't do that with us. We will always be accepted and loved and sons and daughters, even when we struggle. Oh, he was a great man. And Jesus said, now the reason why he was also great, because he was a servant. Amen walls. Amen lights. You want to be great? Serve. Instead of sitting around looking to be served, be like Jesus who came to wash feet and give his life. Serve. Some of us can serve our way out of depression. We can serve somebody else who may have a different, difficult situation than I do. It may help me because to get my mind off me, I might have to serve somebody else. That's greatness right there. But we ain't done with the blessings. It was a blessing that Zacharias had a house to go home to. Because after he finished serving that week, the Bible says he went to his house. It's good to be housed today. Whether you're renting, you're owning, it's good to have house. He went home to his house. It was a blessing that although Zechariah's wife was old, he had a wife. Somebody missed it. His wife was old, but he had a wife. But I gotta pause here for a second, because he had to know her, if you know what I mean. Oh, stay with me now. He had to know her, if you know what I mean. Because in order to get this son, they would have to get together, if you know what I mean. But they old and there's no Viagra at the time. Oh, Lord, Holy Ghost, help them. And check his Mac out. He can't talk. But he still know how to talk without being able to talk that talk. Elizabeth didn't see nor hear the angel, but she heard her angel, Zacharias, put some more. Anyway, let me roll. Let me go. Oh, I got to keep moving. It was a blessing that Elizabeth's reproach was finally taken away. Oh, God can take the reproach away. He can vindicate you and me. It was a blessing that Elizabeth, of all people, was related to Mary. That was her cousin. That was not an accident. That was providence. And it was a blessing that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a blessing that Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to visit Elizabeth in her house. So when Mary got the word that she was going to be pregnant apart from a male, but through the Holy Spirit, she went to her cousin's house because the angel said to her, "Your cousin is also pregnant in her old age." So miracles just ain't happening in your life. They're happening in the life of your cousin. And she goes to the house and is encouraged by Elizabeth. So two of them are sitting there experiencing a miracle. And we got to thank God for Elizabeth, because Elizabeth gives us the theological framework to look at Mary the right way. Because she said about Mary, "Blessed are you among women." She did not say that Mary was blessed above women. But Elizabeth said, "You're still my younger cousin. I know you're carrying the Messiah, but you're still among women." We thank a woman for teaching us theology about Mary. It was a blessing that John leaped in Elizabeth's womb when Mary walked in newly pregnant with Jesus. That was a blessing. And it was a blessing that Elizabeth bestowed a verbal blessing on Mary for her belief and faith in God. And it was a blessing for Elizabeth to have a safe delivery at her age. It was a blessing that Elizabeth's neighbors rejoiced with her. It was a blessing that although Zacharias couldn't talk, homeboy could write. Because they brought him the tablet. I got a whole nother series I'm going to talk about in the new year, the muteness of Elizabeth. Because although she could talk, the community didn't want to listen to her voice. Her husband could not speak, but they put more weight on his voice than on the voice of his own wife. She said, "We're calling him John." The community said, "Nah, what's your husband say?" And he had to write it down on a tablet. And once he wrote it, then the community said, "Okay, but you couldn't listen to a woman tell you the truth? Oh, we coming strong in 2025. So we always talk about what we can't do. Man, I can't do this, but you can do this. I ain't good at this, but you're good at this. No, he couldn't talk, but homeboy, give me that tablet. Find your blessing, man. It was a blessing that now when Zacharias' mouth is open, he begins to not only talk, but to, the Bible says, praise God. Before, he's questioning God. And that's the last time he spoke in 9 months. Then his mouth opens up and he says, "I'm not going to waste it this time. I'm not going to mess up this time. I know it's been hard, but no, God has shown up and I'm going to praise the Lord." And it was a blessing that the Bible says the hand of the Lord was with their son John. And it was a blessing that their son John announced the coming of the Messiah and baptized the Son of God. But I need you to see something strong, Todd, before I pray. Did you notice how their blessings or the upside outweighed and outnumbered the difficult things or the downside? The things that God was doing, they outnumbered and outweighed the things that were hard in their lives. And if you add it up, there may have been, from the text, about 7 things that were messed up and over 30 things that were blessings. About 7 things that weren't going right, but over 30 things that were. But what do we do? Which one do we look at? Which one do we focus on? Stuff that isn't going right and the stuff that's messed up, and we miss how God is blessing. Now, here's another thing. I'm giving you this for free. Even in the messed up stuff, God is in that stuff too. Oh, my goodness. I wish I had a praying church this morning. Because the stuff that was used to ostracize them, label them, even crush them, was the same stuff God was going to use as a catapult into their destiny. The stuff that brought pain, even shame, God says, I'm going to turn it around and work it out for my glory and your good. So rather than cursing the stuff that isn't going right, find God in the stuff that isn't going right, because he's able to work everything together for our good because we love him. So it's a test of faith. You're in the messed up stuff. I'm going to find you there. And God will bless your life. There's an old hymn that says, count your blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Then the chorus says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings. So the singles are going out today and they're going to discuss the message. I want you to discuss the message because I'm giving you a homework assignment. Here it is. I want you to take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle of the paper. And put the things on the left side that are messed up right now. Just put them there. And then on the right side, put the blessings that are in your life. And if you have trouble trying to figure out your blessings because you've been focusing so much on distressings, you open up at least 5 gifts this morning. 2 of them were your eyes, 2 of them were your ears, and 1 of them was your mouth. And I hope when you open the mouth, it has some thanksgiving and some praise in it, regardless of the stuff that's on this side that ain't going right. But I have a strange feeling that the blessings are going to outweigh the things that are messed up. And if you keep on seeing your blessings and thanking him for your blessings, you'll look at the stuff that's messed up and say, this is nothing but an opportunity for God to come and show up and show out. Lord, give us that kind of faith. Stand to your feet strong. Amen. Glory to God. Anybody need to hear that today besides me? Let's pray together. Emmanuel, my God, the God who is not only with us and in us, but who will never leave us nor forsake us. What a wonder you are, Jesus. that you enter into our worlds personally. And you still do miracles. You still do that which we can't do. And when we cry from the things that hurt, you see every tear. And you encourage us to believe, because if we can only believe, we'll see the glory of God and the goodness of God in the land of the living. And when our faith falters, you don't. You remain steadfast. You remain strong. You're not here to crush us, because Jesus, you were already crushed for us, but you are here to help us grow in our spiritual relationship with you. And you use trials and tests. But what a testimony on the other side of the test when you give us the grace and the strength to pass, to brag on you and what you did and what was once a limitation and even a label and a definition from the world now becomes a testimony for your glory. And you want us to experience that. I pray for the person going through right now that they don't give up or give out. I pray that this word gave strength to their soul. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Build your people up, Father, in the most holy faith. Let us stand, even during this season where there's supposed to be joy because your son has come to the world, but he also came to the world not only to save us, but to help us and to strengthen us when things are not going the way we planned. You got it. You got us. We trust you. And we're still asking you, now unto him who is able, to do something that is exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. And it's according to the power of the Holy Spirit who's working in us. Oh God, to you be all of the glory, the majesty, the dominion, and the power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's messed up yet loved people said, amen. Come on, give them a praise up in here. I dare you. Come on. Put your hands together. Open your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. It's going to work out. Please hug about two or three people before you leave. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Amen.